Always a pleasure on the Kultur Automotive Group Sports Line when the guy at the other end of that line is the Hall of Fame quarterback from the Arizona Cardinals and St. Louis Rams, our good friend Kurt Warner, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Kurt, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for joining us on short notice.
I think we just call him the father of Cade Warner, the Nebraska wide receiver.
I like it. We got to that point now. It's about time.
Yeah, I think so. We just refer to you now as the dad of Cade Warner. Congratulations. That's so awesome. Your kids playing in Nebraska, getting an opportunity to play. You got to be so excited. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I'm fired up. And just, you know, it's more about the kid than it is about the football, as much as I enjoy watching him play football. But, you know, a walk-on there under a different regime, and a new regime comes in. And, you know, a couple weeks ago they opened up the opportunity because they weren't getting the play they wanted, you know, one of their positions. And they graded all the wide receivers, and he worked his butt off and earned the spot. And so he started four games right now. And they got a couple really good receivers, so he's not getting as many touches, but that's part of the process, is you got to learn your role, and it's blocking and doing the right thing and helping guys get in the right spot. And, you know, he's got five catches so far and making plays when he's asked to, but just really cool. I don't think even he expected it to happen this quickly, being a walk-on, but I think it's a great testament to a kid that wasn't given anything, that worked his butt off, that's smart, that's a football player, and he does the right thing. And no team can have too many of those guys, and so it's been a blast to be able to watch him and follow that early in his career.
I can tell how proud you are. Now, I want to talk Cardinals, but I do want to ask you, because I, having grown up with Gonzo and been friends with Gonzo and knowing Jacob and the whole family, you know, the triplets so well as I did, and you know, I know that, you know, the pressure that Jacob Gonzalez felt being the son of Luis Gonzalez. Was it the same thing for Cade?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's hard to avoid that because, you know, no matter, I mean, he's a wide receiver, not a quarterback, no matter you play the same position or not, there's just a certain expectation that comes with, you know, someone in your family having success, especially when you're trying to follow in those footsteps. So, yeah, I think it's hard. And you know, but let's be honest, there's probably times it works to his benefit to maybe give him an opportunity someone else might not get. And then I think there's times that it's a detriment where, you know, they're pushed behind a little bit because it doesn't, you know, what he wants to be seen as, hey, you know, it's Kurt Warner's son, so we're giving them an extra opportunity. So I think you have your ups and downs with it. I think it's one of the reasons why he went to Nebraska and away from here and away from kind of where dad's legacy was, and said, I want to, you know, write my own story and I want to do it my own way. And that's exactly what he's done, you know, through two coaching staffs and being a walk-on and all that stuff. Nothing was given to him. And that's the coolest part. But yeah, I think you ask any of our kids, and they'll tell you there's an expectation that comes with it that's always hard to live up to.
Kurt Warner, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. I know it's far more complicated than the question I'm going to ask you, but when you watch the tape, when you watch the Cardinals, when you look at this offense, are you seeing a scheme that could work if the players were running it right, or are you seeing a scheme that doesn't fit that the players that they have on the roster right now?
Well, yeah, that's a tough question to ask because, I mean, first of all, you have to say that across the board, they're talented enough to, you know, if given the right plays, I guess, that fit their skill set, that they're going to be able to just, you know, succeed like some of those other great teams out there. I don't know if from top to bottom they have the talent of a lot of teams that are out there. I think they're still trying to find their way at wide receiver, the offensive line, although they tried to make upgrades the offseason. I don't see it coming to fruition there. I see a lot of missed blocks at the point of attack. You know, so it's so hard to say because, you know, you always want to try to be more creative, but at the same time, it's that catch 22. Can we be more creative with the guys that we have? Can they handle all the stuff that we would need to do to be more creative? Or do we run more simplistic, basic plays that are good plays that can work, but maybe we're not talented enough at this point with a lot of young guys to make those plays work every time, winning the one-on-one matchup or, you know, doing the right thing in every facet. So it's just, I think it's one of those things that's hard to say, especially when you're looking from the outside, because I think it's easy to point fingers, go, well, we need to be more creative, or we just don't have enough talent. And, you know, I think there's a fine line between both of them, and you've got to know your personnel and know what you can do as an offense coordinator, how far you can push them to help give them some easy opportunities, but never pushing them so far that that you handcuff them even more because they're not ready for that. And, you know, and I sometimes when I watch them, you know, I wonder which it is. But I do think, you know, from a talent standpoint, I don't know if they're there yet, especially at the skill positions, to be able to compete week in and week out with some of the better defenses in the league.
But there are still, you got to admit, there are two phenomenal offensive players on this team, and Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson, and they're not getting anything out of either one of them. I'll start with DJ, and then we'll talk Fitz. But David Johnson, 2 years ago under Bruce Arians, they lined him up as a wide receiver. He was just an unbelievable threat. It was you couldn't stop him. Now he's mainly a running back, running straight forward, not a lot of, you know, outside runs, and he's not really lining up as a wide receiver. I mean, they're not utilizing the best of his abilities. What are you seeing? Well, I mean, why are they so reluctant, this offensive coordinator, to go look at what was successful under Bruce Arians 2 years ago and use that?
Well, I mean, that's not a question for me to know why they're not doing those things. You know, but again, bottom line is you have to know your personnel and you have to play to their strengths. But that's not always just one guy either. You know, I think that's the other thing that it's easy to get hung up with. Well, David did this really well, you know, a couple years ago, so just do that again with him. Well, again, whatever you do with him, there has to be complementary pieces around him. And so the other guys have to be able to do what they're supposed to do or have to be able to move to different positions or play inside or out or understand different nuances of the game. You know, offensive line, same thing. Well, if we're going to put David out there, it's going to be 5-on-5 up front. Do we trust those guys in those kind of situations? Do we trust our quarterback, a young quarterback, when you spread everybody out to see things and to see pressure and to be able to get the ball out of his hands? Because that's one thing I don't believe Josh is doing really well right now is seeing where the pressure is coming from and understanding when guys are going to come free or, you know, what teams are going to do when the pressure comes. So, again, there's so many different dynamics outside of just, this guy did that well before. You know, Fitz is a 100-catch guy, you know, every year. Well, he's not there this year. What the heck? We're not using him right. A lot of that can come down to who you have around them and where you have to place them or what other guys aren't doing as well to help free up these guys. So, again, it's just so hard to speculate. I can look at tape and go, well, okay, in this particular case, they should have done this or the quarterback should have thrown here or he didn't see this there. But it's so hard because I'm not in the building every day to go, well, maybe, you know, certain things are run the way they are because – there are limitations with these guys that none of us know but a coordinator. I mean, there were plenty of times when I was there with the Cardinals where Todd and I would have to powwow and go, well, you know, this guy's really good at this, but he's not very good at that. So we can't just plug him in and go, we're going to run every play in our playbook with this guy out here in this position, even though that's the only position he can play. We've got to design our offense to the few things that this guy does really well, because then he can look like a top-notch player. But if we're going to ask him to do other things, we have to know what we're going to get there. And that's the hard part when you look from the outside in, is you don't know all of that. And only the people in the room that are there every single day can see that.
Kurt Warner, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show, is developing Josh Rosen the most important job of the Cardinals offensive coordinator, whomever that person might be at this moment?
No, I mean, I think it's, I mean, obviously it's vital. I mean, you know, because we know teams win and lose and games are won and lost and championships are won at that position. So that is a huge part of it. But I think the other part of that is how much longer Larry Fitzgerald going to play? I don't know. So you have to also get those young guys ready on the outside to get somebody that's ready to take over whenever Larry decides to walk away. You know, it's finding those guys up front. Okay, we brought in some new guys up front. Well, maybe my scheme or what we want to do doesn't play to their strengths, even though they're better players than we had here before. Now I've got to figure out, okay, maybe it's not David's strength in what we have to do with this offensive line, but we've got to find runs that give him opportunities to be David Johnson. So I think it's all-encompassing when you're an offense coordinator, but no doubt it starts with the quarterback position, especially when you have a young guy that you believe can be the future for a decade or so.
The key thing is just protections, knowing where the Mike linebacker is, knowing where Harrison Smith's a safety is coming up in the box. You got to know when that blitz is coming. How much of a factor is having a rookie center and a rookie quarterback in identifying where the pressure is coming from, where the strong side is, and shifting protections? How much of a factor is that?
Well, again, it's system by system. That, you know, I played in a lot of systems where, and the way I like to do it is, I didn't like to change protections. I was never in the, you know, in the mindset that, hey, we're going to be better if we block them all up. I was always of the mindset, okay, show me where they're coming from and give me an answer, and I'll hit them in that weak spot with the football. You know, I'll throw a hot, or I'll throw a side adjuster, or I'll, you know, hit my back out on the flat. I liked having five guys out because I just said, you know, let's stop them from blitzing us by attacking them where they blitz, as opposed to let me try to solve every equation and move my back to this side, and then that screws up, you know, the combination that I want to run and where my check down is going to be. I wasn't of that, you know, mindset. And when I watch them, I don't see a system that asks the quarterback to change protections a lot now. You know, we could always slide it, and I'm sure, you know, here they can slide and, you know, switch the mic call so they can pick up a, you know, a four strong or a 4 week blitz. But I think it's more just identifying and seeing after the snap where that pressure's coming from and knowing where your quick throw is to get it out of your hands, as opposed to asking these guys to continually try to solve every problem at the line of scrimmage.
Kurt Warner, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. Before we let you go, I know obviously you're so involved in causes that you and your wife are have organized and have put together. Treasure House in particular comes to mind. One of the causes that we have sort of put ourselves behind here at the radio station is Bully Free Arizona, and it's something we've been working on the last several weeks here at the radio station. Lend your voice to that cause, if you would, and tell us why that is important for us here in Arizona to be able to say that we are, Kurt.
Yeah, I mean, I love the cause. I mean, I've got seven children. I've had kids that have been bullied, and I've seen that. And, you know, I'm just a firm believer that life is hard enough. You know, life is hard enough, especially for our young people, as they're going through growing pains and figuring out who they are. And when you have bullying going on and you have, you know, people whose self-esteem and self-worth is being beaten down at an early age simply because someone decided, you know, they were better or they wanted to show their superiority or they were bigger or whatever that is. I just see it affect kids at a young age, and it sticks with these kids for a long time. And obviously it can happen at all ages and all levels and in all businesses and all that stuff. But I see it primarily with my kids, and I just think it's something that has no place because we're all fighting battles, right? And we all just want to be the best that we can be, and we need to lift people up, lift each other up, encourage people, and that's the way that, as you said, our community, our schools, our families are going to thrive.
Kurt, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for the insight. Thanks for the knowledge, and I know we will talk to you soon.
Sounds great, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kurt. Kurt Warner joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com.